Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection. Hey, everybody. Welcome to HR Latte. This is Ray Ann Thorne coming to you live from Austin, the headquarters for Dovetail Software. HR Latte is brought to you by Dovetail. If you're interested in learning more about what we can provide, please check out our website at dovetailsoftware.com. I would like to remind everybody that we are participating hard and heavy in our No Kid Hungry campaign, hashtag Sherm Poetry. If you're going to be at Sherm in the next couple of days in Las Vegas, we'd love to have you join us on the evening of the 29th, Monday evening, for a poetry slam where all proceeds will go to benefit the No Kid Hungry campaign. 1 in 5 children in the U.S. do not get the food or the nutrition they need on a daily basis. In particular, right now, it's important to think about this because it is the summer months, and many children relied on school lunches or school nutrition to help them get the food that they need. And, well, school is out right now. So if you can, please contribute. $1 can provide up to 10 meals for a child that needs food. So thanks for joining us today. I want to kick off the show today and welcome my guest, who I had the opportunity to e-meet, if you will, and over the phone, Matt Tant, who is the CEO of a brand new software that's getting ready to do a big, full, hard launch. Has had a soft launch going on for a while, but Matt is the CEO of Reload, and that is spelled R-E-L-O-D-E. Really interesting online marketplace for recruiting. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Rand, thank you for having me, and I really appreciate the introduction and very excited to share more about Reload and learn more about some of the things the audience want to hear about.
Well, let's do this. Let me give you an opportunity to tell us about yourself. Tell us about your background. What makes you qualified to launch a company like this, right? And then tell us a little bit about Reload.
Great. Well, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I graduated from Vanderbilt University here in Nashville, Tennessee. And my first real job, I got hired as a recruiter for a staffing agency out of Jacksonville, Florida. And it was a staff anything kind of agency, startup that was growing very rapidly. And I started as a recruiter down there. And early in my first, I think my first month on the job, a Fortune 100 company had called in a retained search for almost $144,000 placement fee. And I begged and pleaded that the organization would let me work on it. And they told me that it was really for the retained search division and not for new recruiters. And I said, well, let me work on it on nights and weekends. I really need the income. And so 2005, I made my first placement for $144,000 using cold calling and just calling everybody, emailing everybody I could find. And I found the winning candidate through my alumni network in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was a banker who had a friend who was looking for a great gig, and it was really easy. It took me less than 20 hours worth of effort to get these candidates in, and I watched 144 grand come in the door, and I was shocked.
Wow. I guess.
So that was my first real big experience with staffing and recruiting, and that weekend I kind of scratched my head and really didn't understand the staffing industry or the global size of it, but wrote a business plan to connect companies like that company directly with the banker who knew the winning candidate and got $500 referral bonus versus the $144,000. So at the time, eBay was the only real online marketplace that existed, so it looked a lot like eBay in 2005 when I wrote the business plan. And fast forward, I didn't know at the time, didn't know anything about software development, didn't know anything about really running a business. I did really, really well in the recruiting aspect of that business. I moved up to a sales role, did really well in that, and then moved into a business development role and then a leadership role in that company and helped open offices all over the country for them. building, you know, bricks and mortar staffing businesses. It expanded into more of a IT, a very high-end IT staffing firm. And we had about, in the beginning, had three cities, and when I had helped open, and in the end, we had about nine total cities launched, and it was growing incredibly fast. That company sold to a company out of Japan called Recruit Holdings, and I decided to leave right before the transaction and to start planning my own business and getting this business plan out of the drawer and really getting it launched. Unfortunately, the recession hit in 2007 and made things difficult for me where I was at, and moved some pieces of the puzzle around. So instead of launching the software business, I launched another staffing business, and it was a hospital technology staffing business that continues to do very well today. But we were on the front end of the ARRA stimulus package, an early pioneer in hospital clinical technology staffing. And the company grew extremely quickly. I had quite a few recruiters on our team, and at one point, including our workforce, we had almost 1,000 people in less than 2.5 years of startup mode organically. So it was a very rapid growth company. I was buying applicant tracking systems, receipt storage systems, financial systems, everything associated with recruiting. And running a staffing organization, I think we had, over 50 seats on one of the largest applicant tracking systems. We started out with sendouts, moved to Bullhorn, and then finally ended on eRecruit. And so I got an experience staffing from a different angle. And Ray, and I'm trying to sum it up to answer your question: why reload and
right,
how the experiences led to this. So my first experience was the placement side of the industry with the banker referring the winning
right
candidate and $144,000 and just the cost inefficiency in the model.
Right.
My the end of my journey, that company, we restructured the business with a private equity partner, and my business partner took over as the CEO, and I was able to resign and take some time off and the end of 2014 and really start planning reload after about 5 months off and build my software development team and bring the plan together and get the logo and the company and all that stuff. And really the end of my experience as the CEO of a fairly large staffing firm was looking at how inefficient we are as an industry just from a system standpoint and a workflow standpoint. So just an example, Rand, that as I talk about a little bit about this next tool, the first was the placement piece, how do I connect companies directly with the source of the best candidates? And then the second piece of that was, why am I paying all this money for all these systems and everybody really hates using them and is not using them effectively and efficiently? And they're using stuff like Word documents, Outlook folders, Excel spreadsheets, Dropbox, Evernote. And here I am paying $250 a month per person for all these widgets to be bolted onto this big, heavy,
right,
clunky system.
Right.
Really designed for a CFO and not a recruiter. So that was going on, and as the CEO, I'm watching my wife utilize a free software called Pinterest, and she's just delightfully gathering data across the web and collaborating with her sorority sisters, and it's so seamless and easy for her to get stuff in, search through it, and organize it. And here I am paying $250 a month per person or whatever we were paying, and they can't even get stuff in seamlessly and easily. It's searchable and clunky and, So I pulled the business plan out and called one of my dear friends in town who's one of the top software development executives, and I said, hey, could you come in? And this was while I was still running the company. Could you look at what my recruiters are doing? Maybe we write some custom software to make them more efficient. And kind of like my wife's using Pinterest, like, could my recruiters collaborate in that kind of way with our customers, with each other, and get data in very quickly and modern and enjoyable and trackable for me instead of this big clunky system for CFOs? So long story short, that was how Reload came together. It was the experience of being a recruiter for quite some time and making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of placements as you know, me individually, watching that process, how it worked, how you cold call candidates, career builder, you know, calling industry experts, and cold calling people and sending them handwritten notes and calling strength coaches and bankers and nurses and professors and whoever you can to find the right candidate, it's still a very manual process.
Yes, it is.
And then the systems have been designed and never modernized for the accounting team and the HR team and the payroll department, not the recruiter. So here I am with a marketplace, an online marketplace, and a modern tool to store, organize, and collaborate on job candidates. So we use metaphors since we've been in startup mode with one of our products. Our first product is Marketplace. And Marketplace is an online marketplace of on-demand search agents available to help you when you need them. So there's three levels of search agents in that. One is a banker or a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or a strength coach or an oil and gas technician. They just know other good people. Second level is a professional recruiter who spent time at a staffing firm or a corporate agency or a corporate recruiting team, talent acquisition team, that wants to earn additional income on nights and weekends. It could be a stay-at-home mother, a stay-at-home father who loves recruiting, just can't meet the demands, the grueling demands of an agency or a corporate talent acquisition team for 50 hours a week anymore, but would love to do 20 to 30 hours a week from their home, home office while the kids are at school, et cetera, et cetera. So that's our second level of the search professional. Then we have elite, which is our top professionals who have earned their way into elite, and that's Marketplace. It's a place for companies that need support to go and engage an on-demand recruiter when they need it, swipe their credit card in a price-per-candidate model. Our average task so far has been right under $400. So we kind of talk about ourselves as a more intelligent job posting. So the marketplace is a place, instead of posting a job and getting a basket full of whatever happens in 30 days, you're sending out a fisherman to bring back three fish and the exact fish you've asked for. And you only pay for the ones they bring you back. So that's marketplace. Workspace, as you mentioned, is a new tool that we're aggressively pursuing our launch here in August. It's a freemium tool designed by recruiters for recruiters, and by hiring managers for hiring managers. And we've heard the marketplace is called Uber for recruiting. And our workspace tool is very similar to a Pinterest-y, Evernote, Dropbox, kind of all collides to tie into the marketplace in this really fun, modern way to recruit.
So
that's Reload, and that's me.
And if folks want to learn more about Reload, how they can be part of the marketplace, how they can be a part of the web, if you will, that Reload hopes to become, would they just go to reload.com? Or?
Yeah, so we spelled Reload differently than it sounds. It's R-E-L-O-D-E.com.
Okay.
Today, when you go to reload.com, you can only access the marketplace. So we have almost 100 recruiters who've signed up in the short period of time since we launched in February. We've actually paused applications for new recruiters just as we increase supply and demand.
Sure.
So we have quite a few recruiters available from a array of industries that live in 34 states and cover 152 industries. What I'd say is our early success has been in administrative and clerical, some software development, and then clinical positions. So nursing, nurse practitioners, palliative care, just kind of very nursing skilled clinical positions. But we've had quite a bit of success on some random stuff, like senior marketing directors, accounting, general accountant, HR director. So it's been across the board. That's kind of what we have in the marketplace today. The goal ultimately is to be able to go and access the three levels of people and never have to leave the marketplace to get great candidates. So you can engage with an expert who's just a nurse, a banker, a lawyer that just knows
Sure.
other people and in that city, or you can engage with a search pro, or you can engage with an elite, and the pricing kind of follows according to suit.
Okay. So your story, Matt, is one of the reasons I launched this series, the Recruiter or Talent Management that goes to the tech side. I've been jokingly calling it the dark side this whole month as I've talked to individuals that have either been in HR or worked as a recruiter and have either launched their own tech company or have moved onto the dark side and become a vendor providing services and technology for the space. And it's such a great story that you have to tell and what you've decided to provide for the industry. And you truly are, at this point in time, a brand new startup, you know, just launching in January, just building up users, you know, going through alpha and beta testing and making sure that you're providing the right type of technology, the right type of service that benefits your users that have come in so far. And I love that you've slowed down the users coming in. I mean, that says a great deal about your integrity and what you guys are looking to be able to provide and making sure that you have the best tech out there and that those that you've had sign up are using the product first before you allow any more in. And I think it's just a really good idea to be prepared for growth. Anytime you develop a product or a company that has this kind of potential to grow, to become huge, many, many individuals that are out there building these companies have no idea what that kind of growth can do and how it can change the organization, how it can hinder the organization if you're not ready for that growth. So I admire that you've slowed down, that you've taken your time. One of the things I wanted to have you on the show right away, and you were like, no, we want to wait we need to slow this down and really make sure that we're going down the right path for those that come on board as users. And I love the idea of Pinterest for recruiters. I think it speaks to exactly what you're trying to achieve, you know, connecting people that have like interests, that have like background sources that will help them move forward. So when you consider having been a recruiter, having looked at ATS systems, having bought seats on ATSs and any other type of technology that you might have used, is there any advice that you can give to recruiters or HR pros out there when they're looking to select a tech provider or a tech vendor?
Yeah, I think there's no one-size-fits-all. I think that it depends on the size of the company and where you are at in the life cycle of your business and your budget and what you're trying to accomplish with the technology. I mean, there's technologies, for example, our new tool coming out will be $12 per month per person for the enterprise version, or you could use it for free and never have to upgrade. So you got something ranging from the most affordable but simple tool that doesn't have all the widgets and bells and whistles that you would need built in to the tool that ties into all your accounting systems, HRIS systems, job boards, career portals. So really, it depends on where you are in the business to get a team in place to interview and understand and analyze the vendors that are available, run, almost a small RFP process, get the pricing, understand the partnership, because it really is a partnership, and you don't want to be stuck in a partnership with a technology partner. Most of those are very long-term contracts. Ours is month to month. Use it if you want it. If you don't like it, turn it off. If you like it, pay more, add more seats. So you got a range of providers from free month to month to 3-year contracts and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
I'm not sure if I answered your question, but if you're a very large company with thousands of employees, you probably have a pretty robust system that meets the appropriate standards. But if you're a startup or a medium-sized business that just is cranking revenue in the door and trying to build a great product or provide great service to your client, there's no need to spend a ton of time on the systems until you are big enough to support that.
Right, that's valuable advice. So let's flip that question a little bit and ask you as a former recruiter, somebody that's worked in the trenches as a practitioner and has gone forward to launch a company, a technology company, do you have any advice for somebody that might be thinking of doing the same thing?
I would say that just the skills that I was able to develop for recruiting, looking back, probably weren't enough to give me the knowledge and expertise needed to launch my own company, the own staffing firm. It really, I had to have the experiences of, delivering the recruiting services myself and then getting orders in the door as the sales business development person and kind of going from the bottom of the organization to the top really, really helped understand, how do you fill orders? How do you get orders? How do you manage other people getting orders and filling orders? Where are the inefficiencies that we could improve? Build a great team to count it and to account for it and to collect money and cash and cash flows and budgeting and all that stuff you really develop over time. So kind of the advice that I would give to a recruiter that wants to pursue their own journey would be you either need to build the skills and knowledge over a several-year period that you need and equip yourself with the right relationships, bankers, accountants, attorneys, teammates, and plan, your 3 to 5 year strategy. Most recruiters in the industry have Ryan and I know, have a non-compete, and you got to put that into your plan, and it's hard to make money during that period. I set out for 1 year and did didn't earn an income. I mean, that's hard, when you have a wife.
It's really hard.
And children, so I think it's great planning, building up the knowledge base that you need. If you're shy in accounting, you either want to have the right accounting partner that you've met with, or in my case for Reload, I've never built software, I really spent a lot of time meeting software development executives around town and maybe pitching the idea. And this started in, 2005, just getting to know people and saying, hey, I got an idea. What do you think? And finally getting to my partner, who's my co-founder and CTO. I met the right guy who got the vision, had the software development skills, could build the right software development team, and could bring this thing to life. But it takes a team of people, accounting professionals, HR professionals, sales folks, recruiters, marketing, software developers, and really spending the time getting the plan together and putting the team together and then launching fearlessly.
And you guys are doing little mini commercials out there now. I saw a really funny purple squirrel drop out of the sky and nuts dropping out of the sky. Very, very funny new ways to promote a business. Marketing has changed along with technology behind companies. And so I have a quick question for you. As I was looking through your LinkedIn profile, I noticed that there was a stint as a professional football player. So can you share with us maybe something that you learned during that time? Obviously, you played before your stint as a professional ball player, must have played through your youth into college. What did you bring with you, having been a successful football player, to a full desk recruiting opportunity, and then to starting a business?
Well, the first thing in that question was, what did I learn there, and then how did that transfer some of the skills? But when I first went to the NFL, when I was growing up, I always thought that those guys were superheroes and slept in hyperbaric chambers and ate different foods than all of us. And so what I learned was that's not the truth. They hurt. They have pain. They're not all superhuman. There are several guys on the teams that are, incredibly blessed with a body or a certain skill or whatever. But the majority of the folks are just very hardworking, players who have honed and developed their skills over the years. But what I learned that was transferable to recruiting specifically and in business is overcoming adversity and just relentlessly being dedicated to the mission and vision, whatever that may be. That's bringing an online marketplace of recruiters to life. Everybody's going to tell you you can't get a football scholarship. Everybody's going to tell you you can't come back from 30 to nothing. Everybody's going to tell you that your ankle's swollen, don't go run the next play. And what we learn as athletes and collegiate athletes and professional athletes is that your mind is very powerful, and you can tape up an ankle and play through it. And you may be hurting tomorrow, but you can play through it. You can with a team, you're better than alone. You know, no matter how far you're down, we still feel like we can win. So I think transferring those skills to recruiting helped me be successful and really, you know, compete with the peers that I was working against, competitors, and just that desire and drive and work ethic, first one in, last one to leave,
right.
You know, give it your best on every play, you know, that transfers over to my experience in recruiting.
Such valuable lessons, right?
Yeah, and then running a business, you know, especially a startup, is if you look at the success rate of companies, you know, there's no reason that most of them fail. And, you know, every day is a new challenge. It's a new, new customers tell you they didn't like something or they love something, or somebody, a competitor, says they're going to squash you, or a lawsuit comes in, or, you know, an employee doesn't work out, or you don't get that investment raise, or whatever, your budget's behind and system crashes. You know, we never give up. We press on towards, you know, towards the vision and the mission, and that's really the most transferable skill that I took away that I've applied to all areas of my life is never, it's kind of like the Winston Churchill quote, never give up. And that's what we
that
do.
Works.
That's what we do at Reloaded and as athletes. Never, no circumstance give up.
Yeah, every tech founder that's been on this show has shared a similar sentiment that you just have to keep going. Kelly Robinson, who's the founder of Broadbean, very successful job posting distributor, been around for over 10 years now, and were recently acquired by CareerBuilder. One of the things that he said is you have to stay focused and you have to keep going. You just have to keep going, right? And that is a great deal of what you have suggested. And I'm assuming that many companies fail because they lose their focus or they give up. You know, they walk away right before that last little thing that might have put them over the top. And do you have any ideas of something other than that that would drive a new tech company to fail?
I think there's, you know, I'm a sales. I would say my core skill is sales, and I'm a mentor to some tech companies that here in Nashville and some other places. But I would say that building an incredible product with no sales and marketing team is a common mistake that tech companies have.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So you build a great product, but nobody knows it's there, and you know. We will, that will not be an issue here. You know, we will make sales a priority, but also, you know, taking really good care of those tech guys. You know, a lot of the technology folks that I've worked with and known over the years, and especially my team here, is they're just as important or more important here than my sales team. But my sales team is just as important as them, and it's a team effort. And in most companies, the development team feels like the sales team gets all the accolades, the compensation, the praise, the bonuses, and
right.
They're stuck in the dark closet, you know, building software. And you know, what we're trying to do is make, you know, sales team needs developers and developers need sales team, and together we're better. So here, our developers and our sales teams are equally important, and they know it. And they're all compensated that way. And, I couldn't have a product to sell without my dev team.
Well, sounds like you know what you're doing and that you're doing it right and doing it well. Matt, when you think about your own future as a provider of services, as a provider of technology, do you have any advice for my listeners that, if you could share some things that you do on the regular that help you to be more effective in your job, more efficient?
Well, I think that's I think there's some personal components that tie into that as well as, business strategy. But for me personally, I think having a balance in life. Now, I have some entrepreneurs that I work with that, I mean, they work 7 days a week, you know, never see their family, you know, they're running and running and running and running, and they're just running out of steam. And I think for me, you know, my faith is very important to me and my family, and that comes first. My family is very, very important to me. That comes second to me. And then my business is very, very important to me. And then my fitness is very, very important to me as well. And without all of those mixed together, you know, and a good balance of each one, I feel like I really wouldn't be successful at doing any type of job. So burnout happens, creativity gets stifled, and you burn out if you don't take care of your body and your mind and your family. So things are good at home, and things are good in your heart, and you feel good, and your body feels good, you can perform at your highest level, leading a team, recruiting, selling. Your customers see it, teammates see it, family sees it. So that's, I would say, I know that's not really a applicable business strategy, but that's the most important thing before I think about business is kind of those core principles.
That's exactly what I was hoping you would share. Well, our time is almost up, and so I just have a couple of more things to ask. And before we wrap up, the show always goes so fast. Any last words of wisdom for folks out there that are thinking about launching a company or switching and turning from being a practitioner to working with a tech company?
No, I would say from my angle, always dream big. Never, ever give up on your dream or goal, whatever it is. If it takes 30 years to get there, my father has inspired me. He was at his job for 38 years and dreamed of owning his own construction company, and I helped him launch that last 2 years ago, and it's flourishing. So 38 years he dreamed, you know, of a big dream, and he never gave up on it, and it came true. And I think that's really how I think about life, and I dream really big, and I set audacious goals, and I try to pursue them relentlessly and help others along the way and really build great relationships. So that's kind of my words of wisdom for thinking about or building a tech company.
Thank you, Matt. It's been a pleasure to have you a guest on the show today. We wish you the best of luck at Reload, and we'll keep the audience posted on what's going on and when they can find out more and when they can learn a little bit about the whole marketplace and the launch that's going to take place in August. And thanks so much for being on the show. Last but not least is my quick hit faves, and this is how I learn new places to go, new foods to try. So what's your favorite food?
I'd say probably my favorite food that my body doesn't really like as much, but my mouth enjoys it and my stomach is pizza.
I love pizza. Love it, love it, love it. And your favorite book, is there something you're reading right now that you'd like to share, or just your favorite all-time book?
I have to say, you know, the Bible, and we're reading it, you know, hopefully daily, but every week I'm going to study with a group of men. But from a book perspective, you know, a business book perspective, I really enjoyed Jack Welch's book, Winning, and also Blue Ocean Strategy.
I love really Blue a great Ocean Strategy.
For Reload, written by two Harvard professors.
Yeah, that's a great book. I have written about that book a couple of times and used the idea behind Blue Ocean Strategy. If anybody has not read it, please check it out. It's a great book. Your favorite place in the world? Now, I always tell my guests this could be a room in your house. It could be a park by your house. It could be a beautiful remote location. Where's your favorite place?
You know, I have to say home with my wife and kids. We're homebodies, but we love Nashville, Tennessee. If you haven't been to Nashville, it's an amazing, fast-growing market. So I'm going to give you three, and then I love running in the park.
Oh, nice.
I know that's not – it's a place that continues to move because you never sit in one place, but that's a place for me to go where I'm alone and I'm in, you know, having music, and I'm in a place that's my own place. You know, you can go wherever you want to go.
That's great. That's great. And your favorite thing to do?
I think I just kind of mentioned that maybe in my last place, but I love exercising. So running, biking, swimming, hiking, just exploring and creative fitness ways.
That's great, Matt. Thanks again for joining me today on HR Latte as I continue my series on talent management goes tech. It's been a pleasure to hear from you and learn a little bit more about Reload. We'll be keeping a close eye. And please let us know if you ever want to come back on the show and give us an update. Tell us what's going on.
Sounds great. You guys have a great week and good luck at Sherm.
Thank you. That's it for HR Latte this week. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll be back next week. I'll be actually something really exciting, something new. We're going to be streaming live at #SHRMPoetry, our fundraising event that we're doing with Quantum Workplace, Broadbean Technology, and Branded Strategies. We'll be hanging out at the Public House at the Luxor Hotel, live streaming a poetry slam. Let me get this right. A poetry slam to benefit the campaign Share Our Strength, No Kid Hungry. Until that time, enjoy the weekend, and this has been HR Latte.